John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Before I begin this morning, I have some very good news that we wanted to share with the congregation. As you know, we had a congregational meeting this past Monday night, and the resolution that we had before the congregation was approved, so we are currently just in process of waiting for the Attorney General to do what he needs to do so that we can begin construction, to finish the construction of the first floor downstairs at the new facility. Now, as we've been talking about this for the last year or so, we've been pretty forthcoming to say that the first floor will be as completed as we can do, but the second floor we're going to have to wait for a while, that's something that we're not going to be able to do. Well, that was until 2 weeks ago. We received a $300,000 gift or more. I don't know the exact amount. We do know that it is at least $300,000, and it has been designated specifically for the completion of the upstairs wings. So we certainly have something to be praising God for and to be thankful for God. And now let's take a moment to pray. Father, we are so thankful for the good gifts that you give to us. We're so thankful, Father. It is still, again, just overwhelming to me, the generosity of this person. And Father, we thank you so much for them. We thank you for this generosity. We thank you, Father, how you take care of us and take care of our needs. And you know, Father, ultimately, you have taken care of all of our needs in Jesus Christ. That in him and the gift that you have given to us of Christ, we have our sin dealt with. And Father, it has been paid for in full. And we are so very, very thankful for that. So very thankful that you have provided your son to us. And Father, as we come now to your word, I ask that the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the meditations of our hearts would be found acceptable and pleasing in your sight. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm not advertising my services to you here this morning, but I did want you to know that I really enjoy mowing the lawn. And a few weeks back, I had noticed that the church lawn hadn't been done. So I figured, well, I'd take the opportunity to climb aboard our Toro 18-horsepower, 52-inch, dual-bladed deck, zero-turn radius mower. You know, just saying that, I feel really, really cool. So I was riding on my chariot of manliness, rocking out to something on my iPod, when I was mowing the strip of grass over here between the parking lot and what I now call the stream of death. And as I was going around the light pole, just this first light pole over here, before I knew it, the mower had whipped around so that the back end was now facing the stream. And it took me a second to actually figure out what was going on, because at first I decided to gun the engines because I figured the tires had gotten stuck. That does happen. And I just needed to break them loose. Well, before I knew it, I was sliding backwards. And where I was comfortably riding parallel to the ground before, I now was finding that I was at a nearly 90-degree angle to the ground, and continuing to go down faster and faster. Now, one of the nice safety features of this mower is that when your butt leaves the seat, the engine and the blades stop almost instantly. The problem was the angle at which I was falling into the stream, I was being pinned further and further into the seat. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't move myself out. What was even worse is I had this engine roaring behind me and blades roaring above me, and I couldn't reach the key either. And so I was thinking, I thought I was going to die in a much cooler way. I can't believe it's all going to end like this. I'm on this stupid mower being sucked down into this hole, and it's over. Well, as you can see, I'm fine. I finally was able to maneuver my arm around enough to grab the key and switch it off and scramble up off the mower. I had to grab the church van. It was really embarrassing because, you know, the office ladies were downstairs here. I don't know if they saw anything, but Sam walked out just as I'm getting off this mower. Actually, he drove up. So I had to get the church van and rip it out of the pond and all. It was awful. It was awful. But I'm fine. But you know, it got me thinking about it because it was a really terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling to slide backward like that. And it's a terrible feeling when we trust ourselves to something, when we put all of our weight in something, we put it there confidently, and we find that it can't hold us. You know, it's a terrible feeling when the ground collapses from underneath you, when your support is gone. And you know, we've probably all found ourselves in that kind of a situation at one time or another. We trust ourselves to things all the time that can't really support us, or we get on things that can't bear our weight, and we end up falling and we have to pick ourselves back up. But you know, most of the time, with these kinds of tangible, everyday occurrences in our lives, it really becomes a no harm, no foul kind of moment. But what about the areas in our lives in which what we trust ourselves to, what we lean upon, what we end up putting all our weight on is of utmost importance, is of eternal importance? You see, ultimately, the question that we must all ask ourselves is this: to what shall we trust our souls to? To whom? Who or what can bear our weight? More importantly, can bear the weight of our sin and our guilt before a holy God? You see, if I trust myself to some job or to some talent or to some treasure, no matter how secure or special or productive those things may be, in the end, those things will garner for me no favor from God. He's not impressed by my bank account. I'm not either. He's not impressed by our abilities, and he's not impressed by our titles. And equally, if we trust ourselves to any mere mortal, no matter how holy or how saintly, no matter how godly, they're sinners too. And they can't hold us. They will collapse. A pastor cannot carry us, cannot carry you. Boy, have we seen that clearly this week, because a pastor needs to be carried too. The Apostle Peter cannot hold you. He would fail. Mary, the mother of Jesus, cannot save us. She would give way. No mere child of Adam, no mere human can hold the weight of our sin and our need. All would dissolve into mud. All would dissolve into rubble beneath us. And the Bible makes it very clear, only Jesus Christ can support us. Only Jesus Christ can bear the weight of our sin and our guilt. Only Jesus Christ is completely and able and with firm strength to buttress our souls and to keep them from falling into the pit of hell. And we see this very clearly in the final words of Jesus from the cross. John says it like this: when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, the phrase "it is finished" is captured in a single Greek word. The word is tetelestai. And that word means that whatever the person is talking about, when they say that it is finished, that thing has been brought to consummation. It has been brought to perfect completion. It was a term that was largely used in the merchant world of saying that a bill has been paid in full. There is nothing else left outstanding. And understand this well. Jesus is not saying from the cross, "I am finished." These are not the words of defeat or the words of a man that is exhausted and ready to die. These are the words of victory and the words of obedience. And when Jesus cries out on the cross, "It is finished," he's signifying that he within himself, he alone in his own person, had fully paid every last penny of humanity's debt to God. He has left nothing undone of what the Father's plan of salvation required. Jesus was alone, he was unaided, hanging on the cross under the holy wrath of God for sinners like you and me. And in that moment of his death, Jesus Christ made full atonement for all the sins of his people. It is finished. Sin is atoned for. The debt is paid, and the weight of our sin, the weight of our guilt, the weight of our need can be lifted from you. And it can be lifted from you today. See, with Jesus' words, "It is finished," we're really left with a choice. And the choice is, do we believe Jesus or do we not? More importantly, the choice is, do you believe Jesus or do you not? Because if we look to Jesus and your pastor, to Jesus and Mary, to Jesus and your job, to Jesus and your family, to Jesus and any other moral or any other sect or any other practice or any other thing, if you are looking to Jesus and, then you don't believe Jesus. And you do not accept his word that it is finished. And my friends, there is no payment for the unbearable debt of sin that you owe in that moment. And you are left to pay it yourself. And the Bible is very clear to say that you cannot do it. There is no thing of this earth that can sustain the weight of your sin, the weight of my sin, except Jesus Christ. And as we come to communion this morning, let us remember, let us celebrate that in Jesus Christ, the weight of sin has been lifted. It has been carried. He is the sure foundation upon which you can stand ultimately. Your sin has been paid for in full. It is finished. Let's pray. Father, I'm so glad to know that I do not need to trust in myself. Boy, do I want to. And so often I try to. But I don't have to trust in myself, in my own righteousness, in my own goodness, in my own deeds, in order to be reconciled to you, in order to have my sin forgiven. And again, as your word says, I can't do that. I can't do any of those things. Can't do anything that gets any favor from you. What I can do is entrust myself to your Son. Place him as Lord of my life. Receive what he has done for me. And know true forgiveness in life. Father, it is my prayer for all in this room this morning that they would know Jesus. That they would trust Jesus when they are finding that everything else in life is crumbling beneath them. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you obediently came, that you died for sin. that my debt would be paid in full.